You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
I don't think it's something that's going to work.
God only knows how it's going to end.
Sure, I think it's possible. Do I think that's what's going on here? Not at all.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Welcome to it. I'm Jay Michaels. That's Ryan Doyle. Especially welcome to you, pal. Joining us, John Poole from the Poll Position. Yo, John.
Yo, yo, yo.
Melissa Lansman is here, VP of Public Affairs for Hill & Knowlton Strategies, News Talk 1010 host, Sundays at 7. And as mentioned earlier on the show, newly verified on Twitter. Congratulations for that.
Wow. Big moment.
It is a big moment. Woo. You verified yet, John?
God, no.
Point taken.
No, not even close.
Trevor Mayo, political commentator, joins us as well. Hey, Trevor.
Cheers. Let's start off with Ontario news now. Why not? According to Smokey Thomas, the president of OPSU, Ontario Public Service Employees Union, he says it's time for Doug Ford to stop bankrolling his propaganda machine with taxpayer dollars. This after the last, I mean, they call it a scandal. Let's go with small, very small, lowercase s scandal. It has to do with the Peely wineries. Yesterday, there was a big boycott that people encouraged online because of this little gem that was put out by the PCs.
We're here at Peely Island Winery in Kingsville with my all-star MVP, Rick Nichols.
You know, Premier, it's an honor to have you here in Kingsville. You know, this particular winery, they employ over 25 people. There's an opportunity for even more employment. Those tanks, those wine tanks, contain between 5 and 6 million liters of some of the finest wine that people throughout the province will ever find, even worldwide.
Love it. Go out and buy a bottle of Peely Island wine. It's great. It's coming to a convenience store close to you.
Now, admittedly, the video is cringeworthy and not exactly the best optics for the party, but Smokey Thomas goes on to say that Ford's gravy train is full steam ahead after his taxpayer-funded Ontario News Network was caught pumping out promotional videos for companies whose executives have donated to the PC party, like Peely Island Winery. Melissa Lansman, this is a party you're familiar with.
I am familiar with them.
Listen, I don't really have much problem with Ontario News now because it's not something that's on the taxpayer, let's say, capital T taxpayer's dime.
I don't know why everybody's not doing it. This is the modern day press release. This is how people consume information. They sit on their phones. They sit on Facebook. They sit on sort of avenues where you can get videos. And that's how you talk directly to people. And this isn't new to politics. It's just new to Canadian politics. And I suspect that within the next 5 years, everybody's doing it.
All right. Trevor, I'm not sure you share the same opinion here. Is it time to pump the brakes on ONN?
You know, so I'm not a fan. I don't watch it. Willingly. But I think the...
it was this one hostage situation.
Yeah. I mean, it creeps into the feed sometimes. But, you know, my challenge with it is there's not very much transparency. So it actually does come from legislative funds. And so, like, that's fine. Like, that's for the rules. I appreciate that. But there's not a ton of transparency in terms of how much money is actually going into this partisan communication thing. And so that's more my bigger issue with it is if we have a bit of transparency to it, then you could actually sort of, Canadians also are a little bit irked by some of these things, right? Like they don't like our dollars going to super partisan, right? Like that, remember the 10%ers federally, right? Like that started to get squeezed back. And then even the people who were for it actually couldn't go for it because there was actually some pushback from taxpayers and saying, this is actually not what we want our money going towards. These partisan pushes going into 10% of our ridings that you don't actually even reside in. And so I think this sort of echoes it in a little bit where I don't disagree with Melissa that this is a more modern way of communicating. We're finding different ways to engage populations. The traditional media doesn't actually reach all demographics, all people who you want to communicate with. Absolutely. But there needs to be more transparency in terms of what the taxpayer money is going to and how it actually operates.
John Poole, we talked about this Peely Island Winery story yesterday. Now the new wrinkle, of course, is the Ontario News Now element. Is it time to perhaps silence them for a bit?
I don't really have any issue with it. This I'm going to give you everyday Ontario citizen. Nobody knows it exists. You people in the news and people that are political pundits, they see it, they understand it. But when you talk about how this is distributed across social media platforms, it's not a cat. It's not what someone's eating. No one's falling down, and it's not a sports highlight. So very few people actually care about it or see it. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't be built into something. It doesn't mean that maybe once in a while there's one video that people are really intrigued about. But I think sometimes we spend more time talking about it when the average person stuck in their car goes, I don't even know what ONN is, and whatever, I don't care. And that's how I feel about it. I mean, if they want to spend their party's money on it and it's not taxpayer funded, I guess that's all right. Look, governments for years have sort of walked that fine line of what's taxpayer funded and what's propaganda. This doesn't bother me any more than any other government has done in the past.
Why do I picture people at Queen's Park writing down more pratfalls and cats? Can we get the premier with the
cats? Exactly.
It'd be fantastic.
What did he eat? Yeah. I don't know what he ate, so I'm not interested.
Two words for you, dunk tank.
It is exactly.
One GTA educator today saying she has witnessed a very troubling trend. Students struggling in public high schools who drop out in order to pay for higher grades at GTA private schools.
There's a credit mill around here. You just walk over to the credit mill, punk down your $600 or $800, and sometimes, depending on the school, they will ask you what mark you need for what course, and you don't even have to go to a class.
Now, first off, I'll start with you, Trevor. You know, number one, a lot of people saying at 71010 and calling us today saying, hey guys, this has been around for a long time. Don't know if you were aware of this. And if this is indeed an issue, is it up to our government to put a tighter leash on private high schools?
So, it has been around a long time. And it's like whack-a-mole, right? Like, you close one, it pops up. We do have a high concentration here in the GTA, but they're all over the place. And they're actually, it's not just an Ontario problem. It's across the country. And so it's not even just in terms of the quality of our secondary system, but it's also the quality of our post-secondary, right? If you actually go on to college university campuses right now, and you're actually finding students that are coming forward that are not prepared to move into that. And there's bursary, there's scholarship, there's a lot of other funny things that actually are attached to it as well. So it's problematic on so many fronts. And so absolutely the government has a role to go in, right? Like, this is our education system. I think our Minister of Education should be a little bit more actively involved and not only just verifying that those who are actually graduating with a high school diploma and the marks that are attached to it actually reach the bar that we expect in the province to be able to go on or for whatever that means. And to me, we know it happens. I'm pretty frustrated with the government's response today in terms of the minister just saying, like, we do it, but we don't regulate, license, or accredit the private institutions. I think that's a bit of a cop-out.
When I look at this story, Melissa, I almost find it like, illegal cannabis shops. They're operating right out in the open. It should be pretty easy to just go in and shut them down, right?
Well, sort of like high schools, I guess. This isn't a new thing at all. In terms of, there's a couple different conversations. Everybody's got to follow the Education Act. There's a law. You've got to adhere to the law. And if you don't, there's inspectors. Accreditation, I think, is an entirely different conversation. And I'm not sure that it's the province's role, public educators to accredit private institutions. That said, the bigger problem with this that we're not talking about is the fact that it sifts people into university programs and it takes up spots in colleges. And then those people, hey, guess what? If they didn't earn their mark in high school, they're probably not prepared to do it in university. And then you've got dropout rates, that diminish the school. So, universities should probably pay attention to this. Colleges, anything that was, post-high school, where they're letting people in from these places. And if there is, if there are quote-unquote credit mills and we know about them, frankly, somebody make a call. These inspectors will be there.
Do you find it frustrating, John, to hear it talked about on the university level where spots that should go to people that earn them are not being, used for that purpose?
You know, it's interesting because I think the guy or gal that pays their way to get into university through false marks is probably the same person that heads north of Young and Shepherd. And if you look up on one of the buildings, there's somebody that writes your exams for you. I've seen their office up there. And I was like, they're probably just the same people that use that service. So you got to inspect what you expect. If we want our education system to be serious and our grades to be as close to accurate as possible, then obviously these sorts of institutions don't have a role in that system. That said, it's been going on for years. I would imagine there's probably somebody that could say, look, I'll be honest with you, I bought a few marks, I did this and that, it got me through university, but I'm good on my feet, so at the end of the day, it all worked out great. I spent all my time doing something more useful. So I don't know what the answer is, but if we want our accreditations to be serious and we want our school systems to be taken seriously, you got to inspect this sort of stuff. You don't have a choice.
Let's talk a little bit about Prince Harry. He says he and his wife, Meghan, will have no more than two children because of concerns for the environment. Melissa, is this actually a thing? Are people actually having the discussion about what kids are going to do to the planet? The number's pretty high. I mean, 58 tons of carbon every single year for each kid. That's a pretty staggering number, but I don't know if this is a pillow talk most nights.
What your listeners are not hearing is my eyes rolling so far in the back of my head on this story. First of all, our population, you know, it's decreasing in terms of the children that we're having. So fine. But this is a family that flies to their own baby shower in a private jet. This is a family that, you know, redid the cottage or whatever we're calling it, you know, after moving in. So there are, you know, there are platitudes, and then there are people that are serious about this, and then there's virtue signaling, and I think that's the latter.
Trevor?
I have friends who are actually seriously considering if they're not necessarily because they're you mean they don't want to contribute to X amount of billion and all that, but they're actually genuinely concerned about what is the world actually going to look like in 40 years when they're gone, or I don't know, maybe they're not, but like and their children continue on, and this is actually a real conversation that's actually happening with people in terms of what world do you want to bring children into. And it's not about the politics, but the environment's now really weighing into that for a lot of people. Not necessarily saying they're saying okay, no kids, that's off the table, moving on, but it is weighing into a lot of people's discussions, at least in the friends that I have.
But is finance not the first thing that comes out? I mean, the environment's, even if it's there, it can't be number one on the list.
I don't know if they sit down and they do like a pro con sheet, but like it's part of the discussion. Yeah, finances is probably way up more if you can or can't afford to have a child. If it factors into what your career plan or your life plan is, absolutely. But I've chatted with friends about this in terms of like what's the type of world that they're bringing people into? Are they comfortable bringing into something where they are going to have a more uncomfortable and fight it out with the environment for long term? I don't have children, so like it's not really weighing on my thought process right now, but I've had this conversation with people.
If you did, you'd know that there's a pro-con sheet for sure. John Paul?
I think Prince Harry is so smooth. This is the greatest thing. Honey, hey, baby, we can only have two kids because of the environment, because I care so much. Like, it's like, I honestly don't believe that any couple has ever had that conversation. Maybe over drinks, joking, going, oh, the environment. But serious sit down, when you're talking about having kids, you're talking about your family. You're talking about whether you can afford it, putting them through school. And yeah, I know some people go, I don't know if I want to bring them into this crazy world. Everyone's been saying that forever. If someone's actually had the conversation saying, oh, John, the environment, we can only have one or two. For real, my head's going to explode because I don't think that's possible.
All right, quickly, we're just talking about this. A Guelph man says that Swoop Airlines refused to give him free water during a nearly five-hour flight. He was on his way from Hamilton to Las Vegas on the discount airline. Said he asked the flight attendant for water, told he would have to pay for it, and said as a matter of principle, you give me a cup of ice, I'll wait for it to melt, and that's how I get my water. Is you're on a discount airline. Should you not know, Melissa, that you don't get the perks, you don't get the freebies? You should probably provide everything.
You should know, but at some point, you know, if you want to keep yourself out of the news and talking about this discount airline that now, you know, many people, I assume, won't fly anymore because of this this story, just give the guy the water. I'll leave it at that. Just give him water.
Why give him the water?
Why not?
I'd rather that guy stay dehydrated and turn to dust before I give him anything.
Well, for complainer, man.
You're not going to be CEO of Swoop Airlines.
You don't know that, John.
Look, I mean this in the nicest possible way. If you're getting on a flight that originates in Hamilton, don't expect anything.
All right, you be nice. I like
no,
the
I mean,
in
seriously,
Hamilton.
Like if you're on a discount airline and you're going from a second-tier airport, which is what Hamilton is. It's a nice... No, but it's nice. You just know there's not as many flights. It's just... There's not as many flights. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
It's just like when if I fly from Ogdensburg, New York, I don't expect to have, you know, limos and stuff. I know that I'm part of a cattle call, and I'm trying to get to A to B as cheap as possible. I'll be lucky if I even make it there, is how I feel.
Trevor?
Sometimes.
I'm tempted to keep, like, John, just keep digging on this one.
He'll be in Hamilton soon.
Like, basic water I don't think is that big of a stretch. I understand, like, if you're getting individual bottles, that's different, but, like, it's a flight. People get super dehydrated. It's not a 30-minute hopper. Like, basic water should not be that big of a stretch to ask for. Like, if he was asking for weird snacks and all that, absolutely, that's too much, but... I mean, it's a flight. Basic water. Good grief. It's like we're not cattle anymore.
Toilet paper is also $4 on Swoop.
Well, there you go.
More pretzels.
That is not true, by the way. Trevor, Melissa, John, thank you all so much. We've got more to come as the rush continues.